Jeff asked a question, would you require this? He answered, well, if I was.
Hey, thank you so much.
He didn't say, yeah, you're going to.
Yeah, I got the art thing, I get out of the board. Well, it's like real work, so it's coming in, you know, give it 7 hours.
And measure it smaller.
This month is very busy. This is more of it.
So it's like force. She's voting yes.
Yes. Get on.
Hello?
I had to.
Yeah.
your attention. It's 2 minutes past 7 o'clock on Wednesday, November 28th. Let me welcome you to the Booth Bay Harbor Planning Board workshop that we have scheduled for tonight. The suggested agenda seems to have gone away. Joe, could you see if the power is on there? Agenda is very limited. It's call to order, roll call of the members, approval of our minutes from November 14th, and then discussion of DEP comments on the east side zoning. And we also have an agenda item to discuss the harbor planning effort and then adjourning. So I would ask the members to introduce themselves.
Margaret Parrott.
John Folkestone.
I'm Bill Hamblin.
Tom Churchill.
Chris Swanson.
John Desperate.
The first order of business is approval of the November minutes. Kelly distributed those. I made some suggested changes to those, and she incorporated those. I would entertain a motion.
I move they're approved as amended.
Second. It's been moved to be approved as amended and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? The minutes are approved. On to the DEP comments on the east side zoning. We did receive comments from DEP. Jeff had a fairly lengthy telephone conversation where they went through page by page, and Colin presented his comments, and then he had some secondary comments that came in later, and some that came in actually late this afternoon or early or mid-afternoon at this point, which will change some things. We are down in the home stretch, I believe. We've been working on this for over a year now. I think the first meeting in which we discussed about this was held mid-November in 2017. I think we have a reasonable plan. I think you'll see tonight that most of the DEP comments are wording changes and label changes. There are, I think, two substantive issues that we will talk about. What I hope to be able to do is have the board look at those comments and vote to incorporate them or not as the board sees fit. And get us in a position that we can move this ball further down the field. I will mention that since we met last, the town officials have been looking at the calendar and what is needed to have all that we need to get done by the May town meeting. It is possible. It is probable, but we don't have a lot of extra time. It takes a surprisingly long amount of time by the time you meet all of the advertising requirements and notifications that have to happen weeks ahead of special hearing meetings. And we've already indicated that the select board is planning on doing an independent review of this, so there's time for that. So. I believe it is unrealistic to think that we were going to get to vote on this before the May town meeting. I think we need to keep moving along smartly in order to make the town meeting. And I think that's the situation that we're at. So what we forwarded to DEP was this document that you all are probably familiar with, but this has been updated in several respects. After we're done tonight, I'm going to ask that Jeff put this up on the town website so that people can have a chance to look at it and see the details and go through it. This document that we have up on the screen before us is the same document that we voted to forward on to the DEP and the select board with DEP comments inserted in yellow. and those are the ones we'll discuss. The comments that you see that are in green here are the existing proposed changes to our codes. This top sheet is a summary and has changed because some of the content has changed, and we can just very briefly touch on this, and we'll see the reason for this as we go through the detailed text. The first major change is highlighted here, in which the DEP indicated that, from their perspective, there should be no residential use in the working waterfront district. Previously, we had suggested having second floor or above use in both districts, but the DEP comments indicated, and Jeff, help me if I get any of this.
Nope, we'll
just state any of those. So this now reads, in the limited commercial / maritime district, new residential uses will be limited to second floor locations above commercial uses. In the working waterfront district, new residential uses will not be permitted. And as always, existing residents in either district may continue and may be expanded. That's already in our code. The next thing that's changed is the bullet, and again, these are just summaries, they're not the actual wording. And the first one is that when Jeff had his first conversation with DEP, they said, we've been through it, we're good on all the things, but we're still not sure about the setback, and we'll need to get back to you on that. And this afternoon, they got back and said they are not supporting a 25-foot setback, and that we could, and again, help me out if I get this incorrectly, we could either supply more data and come up with another number, or we could simply go with a 75-foot setback.
That is correct.
Okay. So this number of 25 feet, I prepared this yesterday, so it's no longer current. So that is something we need to discuss tonight. And this is just a new summary, which highlights the fact that the square footage per use, the maximum lot coverage for new development, all of the setbacks are the same as our current codes. Obviously, existing non-conforming conditions may continue. So that's the first page. This is the height issue, and this says that if we make these changes, it will permit new construction heights of 35 feet or 2.5 stories, whichever is less, everywhere in the town of Booth Bay Harbor. This is the result of our deliberations over the last two meetings, where it was decided to pull this out of the east side issue and make it a town-wide issue. And there's some history down here, and this was also became an issue very late today, in which Colin of the DEP is indicating that he would like to see the measurement that Tom Churchill raised at our last meeting, where the measurement occurs on the downslope side of the parcel, not the average over all of the foundation, as is our current code. And we'll talk some more about that as well when we get to that section. And then finally, although not a zoning bylaw issue, the Planning Board does recommend that the Select Board implement increased permitting fees for the town of Booth Bay Harbor. Said fees be used for acquiring public spaces, public access, and enhancing existing public access and public spaces. We recommend that these fees not be applied to building permits for working waterfront. This is the idea that was originally a surcharge, and our lawyer said that was a little bit of a slippery slope, and he recommended that it be incorporated in the building permit fees. There's been some discussion about the size of that. That would be up to the Select Board. Candidly, my personal viewpoint is it's maybe not so much the amount of money as having some language that specifically charters and requires that the town be looking to acquire public access and public spaces. I think that would be a good thing to have. I think the Planning Board thinks that would be a good thing. So that's the summary, and we're now into the details. Now, again, the things in green are the things that we were already suggesting and that were forwarded to the DEP, and a lot of them are name changes. These first two are changing the old maritime / water dependent district to the limited commercial / maritime district and adding the working waterfront district. And that occurs obviously throughout the document. The things in yellow, which are very difficult to read at this point,
are the changes that the DEP requested. And this first one said, in the purpose of the limited commercial slash maritime district, we had the wording to reserve a reasonable portion of Booth Bay Harbor for the protection of traditional water-dependent uses. This is all previously. And it said, while encouraging modernization of existing non-maritime properties, and DEP thought that was inappropriate there and suggested we delete that, which we've done. And so now it reads, to allow development of new compatible non-maritime uses, such as hotels, restaurants, and similar uses, and the creation of new opportunities for public waterfront access and conservation of existing public physical and visual access to coastal waters. The next changes that DEP wanted is we had a structure defining where the districts are, which incorporated them both in paragraph D, and they wanted to see a structure that has one in paragraph D and one in the second part of the district defined in paragraph E. So this simply says the limited commercial is described as the area from the footbridge to lot 30-32 of tax max 10, that's the Brown Brothers and the condos, along Atlantic Avenue and along the water, with the exception of the six lots that we're calling out for the working waterfront parcel. And then there is a new paragraph E that says the working waterfront district is defined as those six lots on the town's tax map 16. And then relettering the subsequent paragraphs, incrementing them from EFG to FGH. Simply working our way through the next issue that has been changed as a result of DEP comments is the schedule of uses spreadsheet. And I can jump to that now. And that's equally impossible to read. But I can tell you what the highlighted yellow changes are. This line is for piers, piers, docks, and wharves, which we had as C under code enforcement approval. And DEP wanted the addition of a note 17, which is what these small superscript letters are there. And note 17 simply says, with prior approval of the Select Board under the Wharves and Weirs Act. It's just highlighting the fact that the Select Board needs to approve those uses prior to them coming to the Planning Board. The next yellow highlighted issues that you see are removal of residential uses from the working waterfront district. So previously we had permitted on second story for duplexes and single family residences, and now they're simply not permitted in the district. So those were the changes to the use table from what we submitted to DEP. So now I'll go back to where we were, and you'll see the notes 15 and 17. 15 had said new residential uses are limited to second floor locations above commercial uses, and DEP wanted the addition of, and shall be considered a separate use. That's, I think, would have been the understanding, but this makes it crystal clear. And the note 17 that I talked to earlier simply says, first requires Select Board approval under the Wharves and Weirs Act. So those are the changes to the use table, modifications to those two notes. The next changes occur in the non-conforming use paragraph, which says changes within 75 feet of the high water mark over the water. Within 75 feet of the high water mark and over the water, the following shall be prohibited. There was a call out of the maritime district, and now there's a call out of the limited commercial slash maritime and the working waterfront districts. And it has stated within 25 feet, and we will need to address that under the setback discussion. The plowing shall be prohibited. And DEP observed that really this final statement, the conversion of existing permitted uses to a non-permitted use is prohibited, really covers the prior sentences as well, which talks about conversions of a dwelling to a non-permitted commercial use, or the conversion of existing commercial structures to motels and hotels, and that's overtaken by the use table. So
that just simplified it.
Yeah, just simplified it. I think the intent is still there, the protections are still there. We will need to come back as a group to the 25 feet discussion. This is one of the places where it appears in our codes. These next changes are simply the substitution of the state district names for our local names. And this actually is really a correction and a cleanup from our codes that goes back many years, I believe.
Yep.
And so where it said, for example, General Development 1, we don't have a General Development 1 district in Booth Bay Harbor. We have a General Business District. So the General Development 1 was deleted and the General Business was inserted. We don't have a commercial fisheries/maritime activities. We're proposing a working waterfront district. So this is simply just changing the names so that they align with the our districts and also consistent with the state. And that's also true in paragraph B, which talks about special/limited residential. Our implementation of that is simply called a special residential district. And similarly, the changes for general development to general business here. Some of these don't make a whole lot of sense because they talk about protect, you'll see coming up, uses along the shorefront. Our general business district is the metal wall. It doesn't have a lot of shorefront, but it's what the DEP wanted, and it's then consistent. Similar change here. Changes there, no changes there. So here's the one that says, except in the general business districts and working waterfront districts, structures built on over abutting a pier, wharf, or dock, or other structure extending beyond the normal high water line or water body or within a wetland shall not exceed 20 feet in height above the pier, wharf, dock, or other structure. So it doesn't a lot of sense to have general business in there, but it is consistent. Same thing here, identifying a general business district rather than just a business district. This talks about cleared openings, and again, this is just a name change to the working waterfront district. Again, this is just a name change to go from the limited commercial slash maritime district to the working waterfront district. Most of these are just name changes for clarification. This is the zoning map, and again, in our zoning map, we're talking about blue and green districts. So the current maritime district is concatenation, the sum of what is shown as blue and green on this zoning chart. What we are proposing is the blue areas would be the limited commercial slash maritime, and the green areas would be the working waterfront districts. And those encompass all of the current uses that are working waterfront along that district. there are marinas associated here, but they're recreational marinas, not working waterfront marinas. And then this is the use table that we already looked at. So those are the changes that DEP went over with Jeff on the phone in the first go-around. And then in the subsequent go-arounds, there was the discussion about residences in the working waterfront district, his desire not to support, at least currently, the 25-foot setback requirement, and then most recently, the how height is measured. I think as a board, do you have any problem with any of the changes other than the height, the residential issues?
Other than the height or setbacks?
The height or the setbacks.
And residential.
Let's treat that as a three issue. You okay with us? Would the...
I have a continuing question on the change of use.
Could you speak up, please?
I have a question regarding change of use in a grandfathered property which has a setback less than called for in today's...
Is this better?
That's much better.
That's much better.
My question is regard to change of use of a property that is non-conforming but permitted because it predates the adoption of the codes. Whether that means that it would benefit from a closer setback to the water than would otherwise be the case.
John, can I suggest that that's not part of any of the changes that were made for DEP?
I understand.
It may be a good topic to discuss, but I'd like to have the board either accept or reject the DEP changes at this time. So can we table that until later?
Sure.
I would entertain a motion to accept all of the DEP changes except those pertaining to residential height and setback.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion on those issues? Seeing none, all in favor? It's unanimous. All right, now we should talk about the three that were accepted from that. Does anyone on the board have difficulty with the removing residential from the working waterfront district?
Well, we've already done that, actually.
We moved it to the second floor, but we hadn't removed it.
Yeah, completely. Did they explain or give any reason why they felt that was...
I believe that makes it entirely consistent with the state definition of a working waterfront district.
Or a maritime
waterfront
district.
Yeah.
Typically, residences are not allowed. So it's not in favor of having that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? So I would entertain a motion that we accept that DEP change.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? The next two issues are the setback and the height measurement. You can take those in any order you'd like.
Maybe you could, for the benefit of the people out here, maybe read the comments from DEP?
Sure.
Thank you.
the setback issue. Good morning, Jeff. I have taken a bit more time to review your submissions requesting a setback reduction in the new zone. After looking through the submissions, I would not endorse the reduction for the following reasons. And there's a bulleted list. First bullet, many of the structures are on the bigger lots are legally existing nonconformities since they were built prior to the shoreline zone regulations. And if they were torn down, the lots are deep enough to move, he says, move, locate, I think he means relocate, a structure outside the 75-foot mark. Second bullet, some of the lots, for example, 1629, 1626, 1628, list their current structure setback as zero, and those structures were formerly water-dependent structures, not the principal structure location. And the third bullet says the town had not provided actual depth of existing lots. Many times when reductions are requested and approved, it's because the lot simply could not be developed outside the 75-foot setback area. At this point, I would encourage the town to research the issue further to come up with a more representative setback number, taking into account that the setback is for non-water dependent structures, and not to use those structures to establish the setback, or simply stick with the 75-foot number established in Chapter 1000. I also wanted to point out that the department is not looking to make this process difficult, but a reduction in setback from the minimum guidelines and statutory limits is something that we make sure we are consistent with across the state. So I want to make sure all the information is gathered and considered before making any calls. Thanks for your consideration, Colin Clark. That's the entire message.
Bullet point number one does not take any does not take any consideration the parking requirements that we have in Newport Harbor that other towns may waive or not have, and I would suggest that we can go through another 3 months of study, once we lay it out with the existing parking requirements, we're going to find that that's not a correct bullet point.
Well, I think really what it boils down to, A, we accept the 75-foot, or B, we get together the data that would support something less than 75-foot. So here tonight, I think that's our options. Either we say 75-foot, or that needs to be tabled till the data can be acquired and forwarded on for his further comment.
I agree with your assessment of what's before us tonight. Anyone else?
No, I think Chris said it well.
Yeah. I will observe that I also think his bullet number two, we did go back and remove from the calculation structures that were water dependent.
And the average setback moved from 17 feet to 23.5 feet.
Correct.
So I think we have done that. We have not provided him the actual depth of the lots, although we've provided him with certainly a number of fonts. But I agree. I think the decision before us tonight is to either go back or to accept the 75. I will personally further observe that accepting the 75 may not have as much of an impact as one might think, since it applies to new construction. And if there's reconstruction of existing parcels and existing structures that are within the 75, and Jeff, again, correct me if I'm wrong on this, our codes say they needed to be moved back
as best they can, determined by the planning board.
Greatest practical extent.
Greatest practical extent. We talked about this extensively in the advisory groups, and I guess at that time that the greatest practical extent probably is not 75 feet, given those parcels, given the amount of development that's on those parcels, given the parking requirements, given fire requirements, and all of that. It certainly would impact a brand new construction, but a in terms of reconstruction or remodeling, the actual impact, and again, this is because of the uniqueness of the parcel, not because it's generally true, may not be as much as we think.
Jeff, just a question for you, Jeff.
If we were to use 75
feet and someone came in and said, I can't make this property work with a 75-foot setback, can they get a variance? Can they apply for a variance to reduce that setback?
They can apply. You're going to demonstrate hardship, multiple types of hardship. So
yeah, there are four criteria.
Yeah, I couldn't give you an answer as to.
But clearly now the 75 feet would be under one of those criteria. It would be a condition imposed by the town and not by the property owner. So that might.
Yeah, but again, the other hardships are that there's no reasonable economic return on the property without that variance being granted. If you have a structure on it that you can build behind 75 feet, then there's a reasonable economic return.
But
reasonable doesn't equal maximum.
We're staying at 75 feet. If they can make a profit at 75.
Right, they probably would not get the variance.
They probably wouldn't if they can make a profit at that range.
Correct.
So our role as a planning board is not to ensure that anybody makes a profit, but to do what is fair and good for the town. So they have some options.
I guess. Yep.
Well, it seems to me that this is a very important point. As far as, you know, the entire plan for the new zone, you know, the idea of being able to build less than 75 foot, whatever that less, you know, could be worked out to be, or if it's mandated 75 foot, reading into what Jeff was saying, you know, small chance of getting anything less than that. I think that it would be worth forwarding the data on that he's requesting. And, you know, if he says that it's not good enough, well, then we can still fall back to 75 foot. But if we accept 75 foot now, that's done. That's, you know, there's not going to be a chance really to go back for property owner, or slim chance.
Yeah.
How long would it take to pull that data together and send it?
2 days?
Yeah.
So we're not really, by doing that, we're not really putting any, you know, delaying this process by another month or 3 months or something.
No, I think we'd have to have a conversation with Colin to find out exactly what data he wants. You guys would have to come up with some kind of a number that we're trying to target to demonstrate that it's.
Is that something you would do, or do we have to get somebody to do it, or something the board would do, or how do we.
I'm sure that I can sit down and I can look at Google Earth just like he can. I know that when I was on the phone with him, that's what he was looking at. That's where I'm going to get my measurements. So my question to him would be, what didn't you see that I didn't, that you can't provide for yourself? Because we were looking at the same lots. Okay.
I think it would be good to get the data together if it's not going to drag things out too long.
Okay.
So, Bill,
I would move that
the question of the setbacks be delayed until the data that DEP is requesting can be forwarded and we get a readout back from that.
So get the data, meet back here in December, and then you guys vote on a number, and then we send that off to DEP.
Yeah. Is there any way to determine from Colin what number he would accept?
75 feet. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to move on that. I do. Only because the circumstances of the lots are exactly as you've discussed.
Yeah.
The greatest practical extent will cover or prevent a lot of those buildings from being forced back. You have the right to build a building of the same area and volume in your reconstruction. And so if it means that you can only get to 20 feet, maybe you can only get to 20 feet on some lots. But on some lots that have 75 feet of frontage in front of them, they're going to move it back.
Is there a is there a middle course? Is there a middle course here where we can engage Colin with data for the next 2 weeks, and then in our December meeting have a better feel for whether there is a chance of a lower number or that we should follow back to the 75 foot?
I will be happy to speak with him as soon as I can get a hold of him and talk with him and see what he wants for information. I would like it if he was a little more forthcoming and just tell us if there was another number that he's comfortable with, but I don't think there is. So I think we are going to have to really demonstrate somehow that a lower number is necessary, not desired.
Okay.
In the
non-maritime water-dependent areas,
mm-hmm.
which are right now about 75%, I guess, of the existing zone, there is a benefit for a further setback, potentially, and that is, in a practical world, it enhances the probability or the ability to get public access. The closer you are to the water, that probability, I suspect, diminishes materially. So I would not be particularly upset if it's set at 75 or 50 feet. Anything that moves it back opens up the possibility for public access.
Mm-hmm. Can we get to parking lots?
Yeah. Any other comments?
No, but there's a motion and it's been seconded.
So. Right. The comments are on the motion. I would have to say, coming into this, I was leaning towards accepting the 75 feet for all the reasons that have been given here. I am not averse, however, to pushing this for another 2 weeks to see if we get a glimmer of hope. But I kind of think your assessment is correct, Jeff, that we will be at 75 feet. And if we really think that, then we should do that tonight.
Well, and the worst that happens is we go to 75.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. So
yeah. There's no advantage to other than just, you know, being able to administratively tick something
yeah.
off.
If I thought we could get to the point of scheduling our final public hearing tonight, I would be arguing more stridently, but we still haven't heard details from the lawyer, although we did get an email from the lawyer late this afternoon. So it's going to be at least one more meeting before we can do that. And so I find your argument that let's take that 2 weeks that we have and see if we can move the ball on and then decide. Are you ready for the question? All in favor of the motion to spend, if I'm getting it right, Chris, to spend the next 2 weeks providing the data and seeing if we can get a better sense from DEP.
Do you want me to just do that?
Yes, please.
Okay.
All in favor? It's unanimous. The last issue
that we did not do to encompass in our approval of accepting the DEP reports.
It's just fading in and out.
Yeah, I don't understand. Battery or something. I'll try and speak up. Is the height issue. And Jeff sent an email to Colin this afternoon asking, is it required that we adopt the 2015 Chapter 1000 height measurement algorithm that Tom Churchill talked about in our last meeting, where you take the average of the foundation on the lower edge of the construction, or could we stick with what we have in our current codes? His answer left a little window to me. He didn't answer yes or no. He said, if I were writing a code for the harbor, I would write it the following way, and that way is consistent with the 2015 2015, chapter 1000, which measures the average height along the downslope thing. He did not say that we would be required to do that, but he did call our current system incorrect, which maybe gives you a clue as to how he feels about it. My personal feeling is that we should take the next 2 weeks and push back on that as well, to ask him bluntly, would he reject if we kept to our current height measurement scheme? That is he going to mandate that we go to the chapter 2000? And the reason I want to push back on that is the following. If you have a sloping terrain down to the water, so this is Atlantic Avenue, this is the water, and you measure the height of the building from the downslope edge, if you orient your building this way, there's a significant penalty because you're further downslope. If you orient your building this way, there is much less of a penalty because you're not as farther downslope. So by going to this measurement scheme, we are encouraging the buildings be oriented parallel to Atlantic Avenue rather than perpendicular to Atlantic Avenue, which would allow, I believe, better sight lines and less impact, visual impact around. And I think that's worth fighting for, at least for 2 weeks.
I'll be happy to ask him anything you guys want, but I think that he is going to say our existing language can stay. It doesn't mean our methodology can stay the same. We have to do things the way they're supposed to be done. And our current definition and words in our ordinance don't preclude that. We just interpreted them differently.
Our current words say average of the foundation. It doesn't speak to one side or the other, right?
No. It says... The height of a building should be measured from the mean original grade to the mean finished grade, whichever is lower in height. As used herein, the mean original grade is the average elevation of the ground building footprint is to be constructed on before any grading or other alteration. The mean finished grade should be average of the finished ground of the building footprint foundation after the construction grade is complete. Any use of a false front facade, blah, 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 blah. His point is, the intent is for that to be at the water's or the downhill slope. Our language does not preclude that from being how we should look at it. It just does not specify that it's the downhill slope.
Okay.
So I'm sure he's going to say, I'll be happy to ask, but I'm sure he's going to say, you can keep it how you want, but we expect you to use our system correctly and change your ways.
Okay. And was this part of the 2000, chapter 1000?
Actually, I think this might have been part of a middle-of-the-road amendment, 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just wasn't done in our book.
In my mind, following along with what...
following along with what Jeff said, I wouldn't
open up any doors
that we don't have to. We're having enough problem getting this through without starting to incorporate code changes for other things. So if what currently exists is acceptable with the colon and it's just the implementation of it, I wouldn't try to start going in and trying to reword our current code to match it, which is just going to complicate things further and keep things from moving along. So I'd say let sleeping dogs lie.
I'd suggest that you read Colin's comments, but I don't understand when I read them, and I'm not sure unless anybody else has time to pursue these. Reading these comments from Colin for the public is going to help anybody because it's a complicated issue. If I understand what you're saying, Jeff, our code as written is okay, but and I was in here he says it's incorrect. So I guess I'm not
No, what he's saying is that, where is that sentence about being incorrect?
Yeah.
Basically says that to consider the average grade to mean the average grade around the footprint would be incorrect, which is how we've been interpreting it. That's been our method many, many years. And that is not correct.
The other question I have is that
when we talked about height,
we talked about this
applying town-wide, and really what we're concerned with here is just the east side. So maybe what we need to do is clarify that this change or whatever we do should apply just to the east side.
Well, it would be anywhere in the shoreline zone.
Then, but not necessarily to the rest of the town.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Which might be a subject for another day and another time.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff, he is speaking to the 2015 update. We have not adopted that update.
You are correct.
What about with respect to the calculation of the 2000 version, which we did adopt?
We didn't adopt it. We didn't adopt it correctly. We changed it in 2000.
Somewhere back in the day, there was some
amending done, and it was probably not done properly. And
so we
it was lost in the shuffle. Yep. We had been using a system which is not their preferred system, not their accepted system.
So
and I don't think that we're alone in that, to preface that. I mean, he did say many towns do the same thing. He's catching many, many towns.
So that's not an argument we can put forth, you're saying, practically.
I would guarantee you we will not get anywhere with arguing that. Yep.
And on a flat property, or one with very little slope, it really doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't matter. It
so it really only
on the
affects
east side
properties that have...
On the east side of
that. Well, some properties are flat, some are kind of sloping, some have a lot of slope, so... Yeah, okay.
It slopes.
Yeah.
But is it fair to say that now that this issue has been raised, and we have future shoreland zone issues, it will be looked at more carefully?
You can't unknow it.
Yeah. So I think I heard Chris suggest that we should not change the word because Mississippi dogs lie, but understand that it will impact us in the future.
We just have to change our methodology.
We have very little to none freedom in this regard.
Correct.
So
they would be easily appealed, and it would easily be shot down.
Yeah,
and if we run the calculations by, we can increase the height to 35 feet, but given the way it's calculated, effectively, it's probably no change or even less than 30 feet.
I think that the concept of raising the height is much different now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not actually raising the height. It's going to be the practical implications.
I think that the actual impact of what you would see on the east side would be very minimal.
Yeah. If I understand where we are, we need to take no action on this. Simply leave our document the same.
You can leave your document the same, and in future expansions or constructions or site plan review, that's how we're going to look at it.
You're the enforcement officer. You know all this stuff. You will apply the proper...
Yeah.
Well, if I recall, the last vote that the board took was to separate height out as a separate voting item. Do we want to bring that back in and make it part of the initial, so that one vote would include height instead of having two votes on a town basis?
I'm not following. You right now, where we stand right now is if we were to move forward today, we would make a recommendation to the select board that would encompass
it would be a town-wide.
Yeah. Go back to the summary here. So there are all of these recommendations that have to do with the east side. Nowhere is height discussed in any of these. And that would be one recommendation of the select board. And then there would be an additional recommendation that is the town-wide height to 35 feet or 2.5 stories. So I don't think it changes anything unless if this fails, then it is 30 feet and 2.5 stories everywhere in town. And the east side would be part of that.
In the shoreline zone.
Everywhere.
It'd be 35 feet general business.
I think you'd be reducing on the general business stuff.
Yes, it does.
That's how dangerous this is.
Yeah.
We're trying to encourage, I would hope, investment and development.
Not true. So if this fails, then the business zone stays at 35 feet.
I apologize.
30 plus a 6 foot in the downtown business. The general business, the Meadow Mall, Hanford, is 35 feet. So if this fails, that all stays the same. If this passes, then we're 35 feet everywhere.
What are you saying? You'd still want it split out as a separate item? If you're going to do that, then
I don't
have to address viewports.
I don't see where folding it back in is any real advantage.
Well, what are you going to do about viewports?
View corridors.
Yeah.
Two go together.
I made that argument. We voted on it twice. It didn't pass.
That's why I'm raising it again.
I am loath to
vote on something we voted on twice already. So if you do nothing, then do you have to change the way you measure things, administer this?
We all do.
Yeah. So does that need to be? What's the basis for changing it then, without a vote of the board? Just
what's the basis for changing what?
The way you administer this or measure it.
You don't need to vote on that. It's happening.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
it's
the same.
Okay.
That's just state direction
to its code enforcement officers. This is the way you shall do it.
Yeah.
My understanding.
That's it.
Which comes down from the
correct. Okay.
So then we really don't need to do anything.
But the wording of our code doesn't preclude Jeff measuring it the correct way.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need to do anything. Yes.
I believe that's where we are.
Can we make a motion to do nothing?
Those, I think, are all of the DEP comments.
That's it, correct?
So, to recap, we have accepted all of the comments that are simply name changes and structural changes. We accepted the comment to not permit residential uses in the Wickham Waterfront District. We have voted to gather data and talk further to DEP on the setback issue, and we need to take no action on the height issue. That's where we stand. I think that's our marching orders for the next 2 weeks. Now is probably the time if you want to go back and raise your issue.
You have a question on parking lot?
No, you had the question on use change.
Oh.
My question on use change.
I think it's got a mute button that maybe you hit with your thumb.
Not intentionally.
No, I know, but it happens.
It happens. Okay. In a change of use, does it make sense that non-conforming properties, that the change of use will benefit from their non-conformance across the board with respect to buffering, with respect to setbacks, with respect to viewports, with respect to height restrictions?
I don't understand the question.
I know. Could you give an example?
If I have a property that is at 25 feet, okay? If I have a change of use and our setback is 75 feet, should that be allowed?
Sure. A change of use and relocation do not that they're not the same thing. We're not, they're not the same discussion.
Well, we're talking about a water maritime dependent.
If it's a water dependent area. Use, then it can go right to the water.
No, no, if it is. But if it's anything else but, should it benefit
the only time
from
you have
the non-conformance?
You only have to relocate it if you take the building down and reconstruct it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just changing the use, I don't care where it is.
You don't care where it is.
Okay. John, if I can just clarify, are you saying that if a building is non-conforming because of its setback from the water, let's say it's 5 feet from the water, and they tear it down, can they still rebuild 5 feet from the water?
No, that's not a question.
Can I take a swing?
Sure.
I think John's concern is, suppose there is a water-dependent use, and it's 5 feet from the water.
Water-dependent use.
It's 5 feet from the water, everything is fine. And now they change that to a non-water-dependent use.
Mm-hmm.
Still permitted in the district. A permitted use, so you're going from one permitted use to the other. Can that building still stay 5 feet from the water?
As long as you don't remove more than 50% of it during construction.
Yeah.
So
in other words, if somebody decided to buy today, before any of this goes in, today, if someone decided to buy the lobster wharf and turn it into a home, they wouldn't have to tear it down and move it back, even though it is right on the water.
Correct.
They could do that.
Well, you can't do that.
No. You can't have residential over the water.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
but
I mean, it could be at zero.
It could be at zero.
Yeah.
The zoning doesn't require you to take down buildings.
Now, that runs counter to the whole discussion of preserving waterfront, doesn't it?
Right.
Because if I can just change it to something else that's non-water dependent and benefit from the advantage of being waterfront property.
This plan is going to preclude anything but second waterfront uses, right?
No. Not what we're looking at.
John, I think
six properties.
If I already have a water dependent maritime use.
Yeah.
If I go to change the use, why? How does that preserve the waterfront?
If you're not forced
to conform to what otherwise would be a normal setback across the board.
But if these zoning changes that we're discussing are approved, what use would you be able to change it to?
Anything that conforms.
Right, but they're all working waterfront or basically water-dependent
uses
that are allowed in that zone?
In the smaller zone.
Right.
We're talking about the whole, we're trying to expand, not to narrow.
John, I think there's...
But
to protect, not narrow the protection.
Right, I guess I understood your question to be that you were not understanding how it was protecting the working waterfront. Was that not your question?
No.
Okay. What was it?
The question is, you provide an incentive to go to a change which is adverse to protecting the waterfront. Where I have a water-dependent use,
mm-hmm.
if I can change it to whatever, a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
whatever you'd like, all right, how does that, and not be forced to conform to normal setbacks, how does that preserve and protect waterfront? It doesn't.
John, I think there are two things going on here. There is your issue, which you identified. But there's also the issue is that zoning, to my knowledge, never requires that you tear down a building if it's already been constructed and enacted and is living on the property.
Mm-hmm.
If you change, if you reconstruct it, you may have to move it. But if you're putting something in that same building, has to be permitted use, or if it's a non-permitted use, you can change to another non-permitted use as long as it's not more deleterious to the waterfront, and so there's a protection built in there. And I think that's just the matter of zoning. I don't think that's an issue that's core to what we're suggesting here.
and have been working on for the last year. I think that's just a fact of zoning, that that existing structures get to stay. You don't take a 40-foot structure and say it's you got to lop off the top 5 feet because you change the use. It stays it.
And I get my 30% expansion.
Yes.
One time.
Okay.
Are we ready to move on to the harbor planning method?
Is there anything else from me to talk about parking?
We have not addressed the parking lots.
Okay.
Right at the end of the footbridge. Again, in a change of use, they don't have to conform to buffering. They don't have to conform to setbacks. That perhaps is the more appropriate example. Is that correct?
If they continue as parking lots, they're allowed to continue as parking lots.
Yeah. No, but if I change the use of that property.
So you build a building on it?
Mm-hmm.
It would come to you for site plan review for and buffering requirements would be part of that site plan review. So you would
and
be
setbacks.
Able
Yeah.
There's nothing in a parking lot, so if you're gonna build a building it has to meet the setbacks.
Yeah, that would be new construction. It would have to apply to satisfy all of these requirements. So I think you're protected.
Well, that's
there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Meeting, I handed this out. This was the initial thoughts of our subcommittee made up of not only myself, but John Dunsford, Mark Parrott, and Mike Tomko from the Select Board. Sort of an outline of what we foresee as the scope of work for a harbor master plan. And if some of you have been to a Select Board meeting, they were talking about a planner. That is a separate issue. That is to review just the east side zoning. And that,
as far as I know, is being handled by the
Select Board. This is a town-wide
study of the harbor, and it's defined. There was a map. I don't know if you still have that, Bill.
Yes, I do.
We have a map.
Then again, this is what we defined as the study area. It's everything inside the dark black circle. It's essentially from whatever street is nearest to the shore itself. So Atlantic Avenue, the west side of Atlantic Avenue, the south side of Union Street, Townsend Avenue, Western Avenue. Maybe a little bit down the road. So that's basically what we've suggested as the study area for the Harbor Master Plan. This is a study that we would probably anticipate taking 6 months to a year to complete. And we'll look at a variety of issues. And if you go back to our outline, please. The purpose of the plan would be to pull together, first of all, previous studies, and there are a number of those that have been completed regarding the downtown and the waterfront, looking also at the comprehensive plan, the recently completed Camoing report done for the JDDC, and pull those together and see what's available already for information, and then provide a document that would serve as a guide for land use, zoning, transportation, infrastructure on both the land side and the water side, which would include looking at dock space that's available, number of moorings, location, maybe channels, things that impact the boating industry, which is a part of our working waterfront, not only for the lobstermen, but in the working waterfront, we define that also as recreational boaters, whether they have a boat moored here, stored here, or the
transients that come in for a few days.
So the goals of the plan would be to recommend the zone boundary changes, if appropriate, an expansion, a reduction, or creation of new zones in the study area. Simply saying, do we need to look at our zoning ordinance and make some changes to that?
Second, identify opportunities and the means to create additional open space, public access, and protect views in and of the harbor area. So we want to look at those opportunities and see how we can enhance that. Third, to identify appropriate areas for new commercial, tourist, and marine-dependent businesses other than lobster fishing.
And there are other marine activities. Maybe it's
a research facility. There's fishing and farming, kelp and seaweed processing and studies, and who knows what else is out there that we may not even thought of yet. So see if we can identify some of those, what kind of space they might need and where those could be accommodated. Fourth, to identify potential maritime industries appropriate to our harbor. Well, that's, I think, sort of along the same lines. What else can we be doing in our harbor area on a commercial basis? Five, identify opportunities for expansion of seasonal and transient boat dockage.
If you're a boater, you're probably aware that dock space gets pretty tight in the summertime, as do moorings. So how do we expand that and provide greater opportunities?
Sixth, recommend legal mechanisms for achieving these goals. If there's something we need to do, either changing our ordinances, changing our requirements, fees, who knows what those are, but then that's what the consultant is for. And finally, to involve the community in the process of drafting the plan through articles, meetings, and input from a broad spectrum of the community. So those would be the goals. They're rather broad at this point, and hopefully the consultant would go through these and identify which ones maybe could be eliminated, maybe there are some that should be added to. Let's scroll down to the study area. I think we've discussed that. This just defines that. And finally, just go down a little bit further. The next steps, I think we've kind of focused in on having the select board establish a budget for this and possibly a timeline for the study. I think, as we've said in the past, the planning board has no money. They don't trust us with funds, and so everything has to be done through the select board, and they would have to approve that. Then form a study committee composed of public and business leaders from the community. These should include the select board, planning board members, code enforcement officer, waterfront businesses, and I've suggested several, retail business owners, the Coast Guard, who certainly gets involved in that, Lincoln County planner, and our outside consultants. We may also bring in, there's groups like the Island Institute, other maybe communities that have gone through this process, Portland, Belfast, Vassalboro, Rockland, they've all been through this harbor process where they're trying to reform and update their waterfronts, and certainly we should take advantage of their experience and their knowledge. The third step would be to write the RFP, identifying specific goals, the study area, and the timeline, which then I forward be to identify some consultants that we think might be interested in performing this study. Review the responses that we get from those consultants, select the top three, and schedule interviews. And finally, the select board would select a consultant and sign a contract and begin work. So I think that's where we're at. I don't know what we do with this now other than maybe pass this on to the select board and let them review it, unless the planning board has other comments or things they'd like to add to this.
I'm okay with it. Just move it ahead. I see mostly vertical nods.
So do we need a motion to send this to the select board?
Okay. Thanks, Tom. The last thing I want to touch on before we go to a public forum is the legal review. Recall that when we started this process, we said all along there were two reviews that needed to happen before we could
sensibly say we finished with our work and pass this on to the select board for formation of the warrant. We received a sort of a one-page email from our lawyer late this afternoon. We are not going to share the detailed wording with the public as yet, since it's a confidential document between the town and the lawyer. But I think it is fair to give a just a very brief summary, and I think the good news is that while there are some technical clarifications he wants to see and some definitions, I did not see in that document any gotchas, any whoops, this is not legally viable for the following reasons. Is that fair, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
A week's support.
Well, I think there's a lot of things we're going to have to continue to discuss.
Yes, we need to meet with him. We need to discuss. There are some things to clear up. But they tend to be technical definitions, not that the policy is somehow suspect. And he does comment that it's a far stronger plan vis-a-vis the comp plan than we had submitted previously. And so that's I think that's good news. I suggest that we should set up a conversation with the lawyer to understand some of his comments and perhaps request that he provide the language that would remove his technical concerns. Does that make sense?
Did you send that off to the board?
Jeff did.
You've got a copy right in front of you.
And I'm sorry, it wasn't sent out. It's in the mail.
In the
folder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Again, this is the 11th hour. So I don't think we can take any further action on that tonight. That's what we will be prepared to do so in 2 weeks. Anything else before we open up to public forum? Okay. All right. As is our loss, it's public forum. Please speak to the topics that we've been discussing tonight, that is, the comments and our acceptance or the rejection of them. Please keep your comments short, and we'll go from there. Public forum is open.
Are you, is it citizens first? Or
I would like to have citizens first.
My comments were only edited. Only editorial.
Hardy.
Kevin Yost of Boothbay Harbor. Just in response to the setback that you were talking about, the 25 feet, what I heard a lot from the DEP language is their statutory requirements. And I know in working with them, yes, they have statutory requirements, and they like to feel that it should be 75 feet. I do believe that you as the planning board have certainly worked very effectively when you developed that 23.5 feet of existing area. And I think what should be emphasized right now is the fact that, well, what does the planning board want? I always see it as a sort of a continuation of the downtown, at least for the future, that it's open to retail and everything else. And it's a 0-foot setback in the downtown. It's a 0-foot setback in the Maritime District. Now we've got a little area squeezed in. So I would encourage you in developing that, that that's the way that you see the town would grow, and your response as far as saying the 23 and a half feet or the 25 feet, which I still think is a good idea.
Thank you. Ken.
Ken, this,
at the selectman meeting, I think the chairman gave you 2 minutes.
First, I'd like to once again compliment Tom and the group for this plan. And once again, I have to say, it's interesting that we're proposing a plan after we are taking 9 acres of land on the east side and rezoning. It seems to me this should come first before we do that. And I think that's just logic, folks. I know a lot of time has been spent, but this is a wonderful outline to move ahead and do quality zoning in the town. You don't do it after the horse is out of the barn. I mean, it's just logic. But
I don't want to waste my time. I have up there for the group a proposal that we proposed to the select board the other night. It's an alternate plan. The plan is simply swapping the zone that you have designated for around Fish Pier and Sea Pier and moving it to Oceanside and Winnipeg Harbor Inn, making that a limited commercial zone and leaving the rest for future development after we do a harbor plan. I think if anyone would be honest with themselves, they would say if you're going to take change that much land on a precious part of our harbor, we should at least give it the time and the thought necessary to do it. And as I said, our plan is still going to have to go through the same principle, the same rules. It would have to go through the planning board. It would have to go through DEP approval. It would have to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, and at which point it would have to go to voters. We're not suggesting anything different. We're simply saying it's time, especially with this idea. I mean, the logic of it is so clear that we need to take a look at this and use this model before we make significant changes to the east side. Thank you.
Ken, one clarification, if I may ask. So, under this model, the Booth Bay Harbor Inn would be become a permitted use, and they would be allowed to change things around and do updates. But Brown Brothers would not.
No, what we're saying, on the contrary, in the short term, yes. But what
thank
we're
you.
But let me explain. In the short term, yes. But we're also saying that part of what we're proposing, this is a stopgap measure to allow us to have some time to do the huge amount of change that we're talking about on the east side. And I think right now the only person that has approached anybody to do any development is Oceanside. Booth Bay Harbor Inn hasn't asked us to do anything, but Oceanside. So what I'm saying is we're making a nod to that. That yes, if you want to develop that property within the guidelines, by all means go ahead. But we need to take our time with the rest. And we want to do this. And you have the plan right here.
With all due respect, I think the time is to let the voters decide and carry this forward. I think the time is to let the voters decide.
I agree.
And if you don't like this plan, then urge people to not vote for it.
As I shared with you privately, I much prefer to have people vote for something than to vote against something. I think if you have a town that has a group of people that say, you know something, this really looks like a good plan, we're going to get behind it. That, to me, brings the town together, as opposed to a plan which you have significant folks, which, by the way, contrary to sometimes in here when you hear applause, you have a significant number of people in this town that are not pleased with this plan. And so everyone says bring it to a vote, absolutely. But what you want to do is bring people together. And it's our belief that that's not going to happen. If you do it right, the way Tom and this group is suggesting, you bring everybody together.
Thank you.
That's a good thing.
Patty Miners from Booth Bay Harbor. I just have a question about the consulting plan that you put up here. Is this an outcome of the Cavoyne report? The reason to do this?
I think it's fair to say that's a factor.
Okay, because if you look at the Cavoyne report, and it is the action that was suggested for Booth Bay Harbor, it is about the waterfront. It had nothing to do with the land, as I read it. So suddenly the scope has changed significantly.
Thanks. Jim?
Yesterday or the day before,
please.
On Monday,
Jim McKay,
we had the Maine Preservation come and speak to the select board. And not a lot of people were there, but one of the things they said was in this report, and I hope you all got to read it. It said, unfortunately, a rezoning proposal in Booth Bay Harbor
would transform 77% of the Maritime District limited commercial district, allowing for hotels, recreation marinas, and housing inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. The intention of this land use district is to protect traditional commercial water-dependent uses such as commercial fishing, boat building, marine service, and repair from other competing but incompatible uses, to conserve public access, and that meant free public access to coastal waters, and to give preference in identified areas to commercial water-dependent uses over recreational and residential uses. That was in the plan. And nothing was mentioned about that by you tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else wants to speak on the acceptance of the DEP requirements and the discussions we've had today on height and use? I got one more and then we'll get to John.
This is related.
John Seitzer, Booth Bay Harbor.
John Seitzer, Booth Bay Harbor, thank you. Friend of the harbor, resident of Booth Bay Harbor and business owner on the east side. I've been out of town for the last 6 weeks in Minnesota with family and friends, and we just drove back. We arrived in town about 2 hours ago, and while I was there, I noticed something about voting. You were talking about voting, bringing things to a vote, vote. I was shocked to watch the meeting in October, end of October, where there was a vote taken. We had a development corporation called PGC8 LLC who was speaking. There was a man that was speaking and telling what he wanted to do, and he asked if he could show some pictures. And you said, the chair said, I'd like to put it to a vote. And there were three people that said no, and the chair and another person said, yes, I'd like to see it. So the vote, it was voted down that the request was denied that they not show the pictures. Well, two of the employees of the corporation jumped up and decided to show the pictures despite the Democratic decision to not allow it. Here's a Democratic vote, no, they did it anyway. A disrespect for the Democratic process. I believe that the chair, that you had told them that they could show the pictures after the meeting, undaunted and with the disdain of the majority rule, they held up the pictures and spoke about the unlimited potential of the good that could be attained if only the board would go along with the request of the development corporation. I was further dismayed that the chair allowed the breach of Robert Rules of Order to take place, that they could continue to speak. I can only hope that these employees and the spokesman have apologized to the planning board for their outburst, and that they would apologize to the Booth Bay Harbor as well. Rather saddened to see this in the public forum.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John.
Rick Cheney, Scarborough, attorney from Portland, representing Mr. Coulon. Just one editorial comment. I noticed when you had the changes up on the board, in a couple of places, up on the screen, a couple of places it referred to general business districts and limited commercial districts. I think you want to make that singular.
Yes.
A little bit more substantive on the setback issue. If the town cannot convince, the board cannot convince the DEP to allow the 25-foot setback, and the town would like to avoid being locked in to 75 feet, a fallback might be a provision that would say something like the setback would be 75 feet or such lesser distance, not less than 25 feet, as may be permitted by the planning board applying the practical difficulty standards that you referenced that the board has applied in other cases. So, fallback suggestion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Over here.
George Craig, Booth Bay Harbor. So a number of us have stood up periodically and pointed out how we felt like measures that you were proposing were not contradicted state statutes. I wrote a couple of emails to the board, and I appreciate you courteously referred me to the local statutes. But both the local and the state statutes say that whenever there's an inconsistency, that the more restrictive provision shall apply, right? So I presume that's why you have to take out the residences above the second floor. I presume that's why you have to measure 35 feet from the downhill slope versus the town's measurement. But this has been sort of the face of East Side Development and this whole process for a long time. This has been posted here. There have been informational meetings where planning board members have attended. And by all measures, with a 35-foot measurement from the water, this is non-viable. And this enables all the cars to go underneath, right? Because you get the extra space measuring the average height, so that the water is much, much greater. And with all the cars underneath, that enables the footprint to be much, much larger. Hence, more volume, more units, more tax revenue. That's all great. But if the cars can't go underneath, the footprint has to shrink, the volume shrinks dramatically, the units shrink, the potential tax revenue shrinks. And I'm just concerned that there's a whole lot of people out there who think that this is what we're going to be voting on. So I hope, before this is all said and done, that you make sure that people understand that something like this could not be constructed given the current rules. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could just second that, I think we have taken great pains to not respond to drawings that have been put forth and circulated that may or may not be possible under our zoning laws, even today or with the new. We are not doing this for any given developer. Now, I'm not naive. I know this was kicked off by Mr. Coulomb desiring to invest in the east side, but this is not tailored to any developer. He could go away tomorrow and we should still do these things, and the drawings are not part of this process, and they should not be part of this process. People should, I would hope, look at the actual zoning laws and make their decisions based on that.
I was just going to say that our discussion is...
Can't hear you.
I was just going to say, our discussion is concerning zoning that has nothing to do with applications at this point, and, you know, any drawings or any ideas, you know, someone could say they could build anything, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Jean McKay. I have been to a couple of meetings at breakfast and I've seen those pictures, okay? I've seen them here at the planning board several times, but not once has anyone on the board said, this is not realistic. And you know, I'm naive. I thought that it could be done, and I'm not the smartest person, but I really thought that it could be possible. But I would like you folks to say to the public, when they see these, this is not realistic.
I can't say whether they are or not. That is not our role, and they can't be evaluated unless they're formal applications. We get drawings all the time, well away from the water, regular applications that have pretty drawings, and when the actual application comes in, it's often very different. So I can't say that it is, I can't say that it isn't realistic. I can say it's not part of this process. People should not vote because they've seen a diagram of what might or might not be possible.
But maybe just a comment, when you have such a thing here, you might just make it a point to the audience and say, this is a lovely rendering, and it may be possible, but there's a good chance that it's not possible.
Thanks, James. Anybody who's not a repeat
Okay.
I was just going to thank you for saying that, because people looking at home who don't sit at these meetings, and just by you saying that, we don't make a decision based on what we see. That's very helpful, and I appreciate you doing that, because I think that's all we're asking, is just make sure we have a level playing field as far as we move through this process where people make choices. So thank you.
Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. There can be no discussion. All in favor? Thank you all for coming. It really is appreciated. If you have any questions,